day on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Ladies and gentlemen, this Christmas Eve, is anybody here, or how many of us here need music? The music of God and the light of Christ in your life. How many of us here need to see the light of the Lord Jesus Christ of Christmas come and begin to set ablaze all that is unholy and cleanse out all that is impure and come as the glory of light and music in you and in me?
The truth is, God is here for you today. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today on The Winning Walk, Dr. Young wraps up his message, Emmanuel, and shares how Christmas is all about God stepping into your pain and making himself available to you. That encouraging message is coming right up, so stick around. Before we get to Dr. Young, it's fair to say we've all been exhausted by the ups and downs of 2020. That's why we want you to know we're praying for you and your loved ones as this unprecedented year wraps up. We're also praying we see an outpouring of support to help The Winning Walk reach a critical $500,000 year in need by December 31. To help meet this need, a generous friend has offered a $75,000 matching grant. This means that any gift you give today will be doubled, dollar for dollar, to help keep this program going strong. So call now to have your year-end gift doubled and help share the proven truth of God's Word with more people in the year ahead. Call 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day. So we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has The Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory.
John 1:11, Jesus came to his own and his own did not receive him. We all remember the innkeeper in Bethlehem who told Mary and Joseph that there was no room for them in the inn. The innkeeper has earned a bad reputation because of this. But I wonder if this innkeeper may be symbolic of some of us. There was no room in the inn because Mary and Joseph were not expected. Also, the innkeeper failed to recognize the significance of the impending birth of Jesus. Another word we might use is the word inclination. I believe that even if the angels had spoken to him, the innkeeper would have made the same decision because he was focused on what best suited his business and personal needs. Listen, often Jesus tries to touch our lives through circumstances, tragedy, even blessing, even mountaintop experience. But do we really make room for him in everything of life? Approach this Christmas with expectation and incline your heart to welcome Jesus. Prepare room for him, space for him. Let him come in and dominate all your inner space. And you'll recognize this holy infant as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords when you let him become the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in your life.
Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Emmanuel, Part 2.
For me, I'll have to confess, Christmas was always a pretty down time because it seems that Santa never gave me the quality of gifts that all my friends would get. I didn't understand it then. I do now. But this is Christmas for some. It's travel. For some, it's skiing. For some, it's going home with mom and dad and grandpop and the grandchildren and the children and And I remember hitchhiking back home from University of Alabama and going home for Christmas and seeing all my friends who'd gone everywhere. Christmas is hunting for others. It has a whole lot of meaning, doesn't it, for every single one of us. But I want to give you the definitive definition of Christmas so you won't be confused about what Christmas really is. Christmas is wrapped up in one Hebrew word. You find it in Matthew chapter number 1, verse 23. We know the Holy Spirit visited the Virgin Mary, and she conceived, and she brought forth a son, and her surrogate husband was told by the angels who that son was and what that son was to be called. And this one word gives us a definition of Christian. It tells us all about what it means to be a Christian at Christmas. It's the word Emmanuel. And when I say today, what is Christmas? I want everybody to answer in unity, Emmanuel. What is Christmas?
Emmanuel.
Oh, C plus. What is Christmas?
Emmanuel.
And the word Emmanuel means, as we know, God with us. That's Christmas. Three words wrapped up in that one word, which we know, what is Christmas?
Emmanuel.
It says that Jesus is God. That's the bottom line. By the way, this whole book, from Genesis to Revelation, says that one thing: Jesus is God. That's the theme from the beginning to end. And when we know that, and when we believe that, and we stand on that basic fundamental truth, all of Christianity makes sense. That Jesus is God. And if we do not understand that and we do not believe that, Christianity becomes confusing and dysfunctional. So we know that the Bible teaches that Jesus of Nazareth was indeed God, Emmanuel, the incarnation of the Almighty. Jesus was divine. Jesus was God. How do we know that? Jesus claimed to be God. Look at all the I am statements, seven of them. I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. All those I am statements is Jesus himself claiming, I am God. And how many times in the Bible do you read Jesus saying, the Father and I, we're one. We're one and the same. And we know that Jesus claimed to be God because one reason, he forgave sin. Now, who can forgive sin but God? If Joe hits Mike and I go and say, Joe, I forgive you. Well, who am I to forgive Joe? Mike has to do it. And the truth is, Joe didn't offend Mike. When we sin, we always sin against God. God does the forgiving. Jesus went about forgiving sin. Also, Jesus received worship. The angels never received worship. Read in the Bible. When someone worshiped an angel, the angel would say, I am just created like you. I'm not God. You're not to worship me. When Paul and Silas were worshiped there as they were teaching, the people fell down. He said, get up. We worship only the living God. And the amazing thing is, who first recognized Jesus and saw that he was God? It was his closest friends and associates. If I stood up here and told you this Christmas Eve, Homer Edwin Young is God, how would that fly with you? Man, I know him. I know about him. He's a long way from being God. But Jesus was proclaimed to be God by his intimate associates as they saw him pray, as they saw the countless miracles, as they heard him teach, as they lived with him. And finally, they came to the conclusion when all the data was in, all the experiences, it was the apostles who said, and others, this can be no one other than God Almighty.
the Messiah, the Christ. And therefore, we come to the point that we as Christians are accused of exclusivity. We say, oh, they're exclusive. They are narrow. Those Christians believe this is the only way. That's a bunch of narrow people up there. Tell you something, if you were sick, you went to two doctors and both of them said, hey, just rest, drink some water, you'll get well. But if I were a doctor and I'd look at you and say, look, you're terminally ill. That's not going to work. You have to take this particular pill. It's the only thing that will heal you. Now, I am not being narrow. This has nothing to do with narrowness. The bottom line is either those doctors are right and accurate and telling the truth, or I am right and accurate and telling the truth. It's a matter of what is right, what is wrong, what is true, and what is not true. There's no narrowness there. So the idea of exclusivity, no. We're not narrow at all, because we read in the Bible the clear options that we have. Jesus is either a liar. If he were a liar, wasn't he a great liar? Amazing liar, amazing deceiver, amazing someone who defrauded people. Jesus is either a liar or he's a lunatic, like a fried egg, out of his gourd, some crazy, crazy kind of pseudo-prophet. Liar, a lunatic, or either he is Lord and Savior, who he claims to be. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't say, oh, I'm going to believe he's a prophet. Oh, I give you, he's a great teacher. The option is not there. He's a liar or a lunatic, and he is Lord God, whom we are to worship. God, Jesus is God. What is Christmas? God with. Now there's a big word. God with us. God right here with us. That's something. All the way through the Bible, you see people that come in the presence of God. What do you find? It's fear. Like those shepherds, oh, this fear. You read about Job there. My Job saw God in a typhoon, in a tornado, in a hurricane. That's awesome. That's God. God came near a hurricane. We read there in Abraham, he saw God as a smoking furnace moving through the sacrifice. Hot, smoking furnace. You cannot get near him. What about Moses there on the mountain? My goodness, he came just near to God. His face shone with Shekinah. He came down. The people couldn't look at him. Had to put a veil on his face or they'd be blinded. God, awesome, otherness, away, unapproachable, out there, up there, here. And Moses, the burning bush, holy ground. You can't handle it. A pillar of fire. And finally, Moses says, God, I want to see you. And God says, Moses, you can't see me and live, but I will hide myself in the cleft of a rock. And God said, I'll pass before you, Moses. You'll not see me. I'll pass right with you. You'll not see me. And I'll pass by you. And God says to Moses, you can see the hindmost parts. You can see my heels, and that's all you can see. You see, all the way through the Bible, we think of God. He is ferocious. He is the holy other. We can't deal with him. But we discovered that Emmanuel, God with, the witness of God, God came down. He is here and he came down. And I like to call it the great condescension. The great condescension. He came down as a baby. I was yesterday walking right out here in the atrium, speaking to people, looking at the trains, enjoying all that goes on around here. And I saw a young mother, had a little guy with her, and I stopped and spoke to her and commented on the child. And all of a sudden, that little guy just jumped out of her arms and whoosh, right into my arms. I'd never seen him before, never seen her before. And I just take that little guy and he just fell on my shoulder and my neck. And she said, "He's a cuddler." Oh, he was a cuddler. I just held him there and we visited. And finally I told her, I said, "You'd better take him back or I'm going to take him home with me." Jesus, God came down from heaven and as a baby, he was a cuddler. Right here, right now, available. The great humility of God. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. You can get too prideful, too having worked out your own deal, you think, with God. Get too big, God can't use you. But nobody can get too little, too small, too humble, or too broken for God to use you. God himself took on human flesh and became baby, available with arms outstretched for every single one of us. Prior to Bethlehem, God was up there. Now, everybody here has had some kind of experience of God. I felt God when I was fishing, or I felt God when I was on top of the mountain, or I felt God when the sunset went up in the valley. Oh, these general experiences of God, the only problem is they don't get you anywhere. You never get to know him. You never get into a relationship with him. He's not alive in your life. He's not dealing with all the anxieties and all the joys that come. He's up there. He's out there. But in Jesus Christ in Bethlehem, he becomes available. What is Christmas? Amen. Jesus is God. With, right here, with us, he came to us in our terms, met us in the lowest common denominator, us. He's with us. Who's that us? Not God is with everybody. God's with, who was us there in Matthew? It was the Magi. It was the astrologers who saw the star and they read the prophecy and they followed that star all the way to Jesus. And they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And I think that gave Mary and Joseph the wherewithal to handle going to Egypt, to handle getting back to Nazareth, to stay alive, to have means to live. They came from afar. They had no credentials. Also, who came there to Jesus? The lowly, worthless shepherds. That was the lowest ring in all the employees who worked there in Israel. They were nobodies. They couldn't go in the temple. They would stink like the sheep. They were unclean. God came and visited the nobodies, the shepherds. What is Christmas? God with us. An amazing thing. God with us. This week, in a little town in Florida, Mulberry, Florida, there was a mother there who was a single mom who had a special child, an autistic child. And since that child had been 3 years old, this mother worked at McDonald's, would get off, and she would take that child to the Christmas house. You know, there are Christmas houses around every town and several in our city. And there are houses for people to take. This house had 250,000 lights all over it. And they had reindeer and Santa Claus and music, Christmas music from 7 till 11 at night. And they had everything you could imagine from the manger scene to the reindeer. And it was just aglow with light and life. And people came from all over that little town in Florida to see the Christmas house. Everybody liked it but the neighbors. Cars were lined up day after day, night after night. And this mother would take that little autistic girl, get her out of the car, put her in the wheelchair, and just sit her there from the time she was 3, and she would look at the Christmas lights, the Christmas house, The doctor had told the mom she'd never talk. But she just looked at that Christmas house and would make noises from the time she was 3 until this year she was 13. Same thing, every year, wheelchair, looked at the Christmas lights. Never a word. But this year the mom was talking to someone and another woman went up and began to talk with the little girl. And the little girl said to the other woman, "Place of music and lights." The woman talked to her and went to the mother and said, "You know, I'd never heard your child speak before." The mother said, "Well, she's never spoken." Said, "Oh, yes, she just spoke to me." And the mom went over there and said, "Darling, what did you say?" And she pointed and said, "Place of music and lights." And that mom had a whole new view of that life that now perhaps would communicate and grow and develop. Ladies and gentlemen, this Christmas Eve, is anybody here, or how many of us here need music, the music of God and the light of Christ in your life? How many of us here need to see the light of the Lord Jesus Christ of Christmas come and begin to set ablaze all that is unholy and cleanse out all that is impure and come as the glory of light and music in you and in me? That can happen. That is the gift of Christmas when we receive that gift.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Luke 2, 13 and 14. "And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men, with whom he is pleased.'" When a baby is born, the parents send out cards to announce the birth of this child. When Jesus was born, God himself sent an explosion of angels to announce his birth. Luke tells us that a multitude of the heavenly host praise God for this supernatural gift of Jesus. How many angels make up a multitude? I don't know. But I'd like to picture the heavens literally filled with angels singing to these shepherds. What did they say? They said, "Glory to God in the highest." Can you imagine that anthem? "Glory to God in the highest," by a multitude of angels? They worship God. This is how we should respond to the announcement of God's good news. When you worship, you'll be amazed how peace comes into your life. I've experienced that. Many of you have. It is amazing what we do when we bow the knee and honor Him and come into His presence. Whatever the problem or difficulty, worship reminds us that it's not about you and me. It's about Him. And when we focus on Him, our natural response will be praise and adoration for His perfect gift to us. He came all the way down to this earth to give Himself so that we might know Him and know exactly how we are to live our lives.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has encouraged you, and before you go, we want to remind you about the exciting $75,000 matching grant that will double your year-end gift today to help meet a vital $500,000 year-end need. Meeting this need in full will allow The Winning Walk to step into 2021 on a strong financial footing, and that means empowering more believers like you with the proven truth of God's Word. So call now to have your gift doubled by the match and help share the proven truth of God's Word with more people in the year ahead. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk. Come back tomorrow for a special music program called The Sounds of Christmas. You're going to love it.